listening to the Fish on Ted podcast with your host, Ted Johnson.
Well, hello, this is Ted Johnson with the Fish on Ted podcast. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. This recording is being made right at the beginning of October of the 2019 season, right in the middle of season changes for a lot of people, whether you're on the West Coast or on the East Coast and gearing up the fish for other types of fish and other types of conditions. Today, we have a special guest. Our guest is Joby Sepulu from Lake Tahoe. And Joby has a guide and charter service on Lake Tahoe, if you can imagine. And without stealing much of his thunder, Joby, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you
today? I'm great. How are you, Joby?
I'm doing well.
Terrific. Terrific. How's fishing been?
Fishing on Tahoe is always very good. It's beautiful views, great fishing, pretty much one of the best places to go fishing in the world.
I'll bet it is. Joby, I'm just curious. I know that you said to me that you grew up on Lake Tahoe, but how did you start fishing, or how old were you when you started fishing? Was there somebody in your life that got you on the water and got this bug started?
You know, Ted, that's a good question. I don't remember when I started fishing. All I remember is fishing. So it's been for pretty much most of my life. I'm younger than both my brother and sister by, 5 and 6 years. We're very fortunate to live here in Lake Tahoe. And at one of our local schools, a teacher by the name of Doug Fort would take those classes camping each year. That camping trip was done down in Markleyville. I was age 4 and 5 the first couple times I did it.
Wow.
All of the 5th and 6th graders. Yeah, young. And, all the 5th and 6th graders would be out having a good time, and I'd have my rod in the river. And I think one of the first big fish I remember catching was about a 27-inch cutthroat trout. And I caught that cutthroat trout in Markleyville, California. And it was funny because I fished that river by myself. And the next thing I knew, there was about 60 fifth and sixth graders with their rods in the water after that. And that teacher, Ted, told me that I'll never forget. And I tell my guests to this day, he said, Joby, you would catch fish in a toilet. And, I know that's kind of a weird statement, but it stuck. So, that was the first big fish I remember catching, Ted.
Wow. Wow. And it just it grew from there, huh?
You bet. And then, I don't know how familiar you are with Lake Tahoe, but in Lake Tahoe, there is an inland waterway called the Tahoe Keys. The Tahoe Keys was developed in the 1950s and finally finished in the late 60s. And what it is a marshland that was dug out. So Tahoe is very unique in the sense that it's 100% snowpack the water is derived from the snowmelt. And there are about 73 inflows and just one outflow. And one of the major inflows is the Upper Truckee River on the South Shore. And they dug up the Upper Truckee River marsh and made that into the Tahoe Keys.
No kidding.
An environmental nightmare, kind of a problem for the ecosystem, but a great place to live and grow up. So that's where I grew up, Ted.
Wow, no kidding. Why did they do that originally back in the 50s? Was it for water conservation, or what was the purpose?
No, it was all development. It was basically to build lots on the water. It's I've lived here my whole life, and a lot of people may take offense to the term I use, but it's the poor man's lakefront is what it is. So there's about 1,200 homes that are on the waterway here. And the waterway leads straight out to a channel that leads you to the lake. Growing up, it was wonderful. I had a small skiff that my uncle Leo, a great man, my great uncle was a World War II vet, gave me this small skiff with a small Johnson outboard on it. And for the most part, I attribute that to staying out of trouble and staying out of jail. And I fished every day of my life from the time I can remember.
Did you really? No kidding. No kidding. What a great story. And when did the transition happen, Joby, to make this into a profession?
Well, my family was in the tourist related business. We had a laundry, so we served the entire Tahoe Basin, and we did laundry, commercial sheets and towels and napkins and tablecloths for the restaurants and motels.
Yeah,
and we did that my whole life. My grandfather started that business here in town, he bought it back in the early 50s, late 40s, early 50s. My mom grew up doing it. My dad got into the business. And so I pretty much expected to be in the laundry business. And I went to school in Chico, California, California State University of Chico, which was a great place for a sportsman to go to school. I have to admit, I was a marketing major, but I did more hunting and fishing than I did school, to be honest with you. So great place to go to school and to, you know, catch shad and duck hunt and all the different things that the Sacramento River Basin has to offer.
Yeah.
And when I graduated from school, or when I left school, I left without my degree. When I left school, I came home to run the family business, and shortly thereafter we sold out. So I had a couple of choices to make at that point. And I had worked in the commercial salmon fishing business with my Uncle Leo. I already mentioned his name.
Right.
And so it was always a passion. So I worked for the company that bought us for several years. My son was born and I wanted to move home. So I got my Coast Guard license and bought a boat, and that was the beginning. And that was in 1997.
Really? So you've been doing this, what, 22 years now, something like that?
Yep. Been fortunate enough to do this for 22 years.
Now, in Lake Tahoe, with all of the snow and the weather that you have, is the lake available year-long to fish?
You know, it's a great fishery 12 months out of the year, Ted. And there is some issues or some definite barriers to getting on the water. But, you know, for the most part, we've overcome those barriers. I operate out of the Tahoe Keys Marina. So the Tahoe Keys is an inland waterway. It's a lot of people ask me, does Lake Tahoe freeze? Well, no, the lake does not freeze, but the inland waterway does. So we keep that cleared out by they put bubblers in the water that basically are just like little propellers underwater that keep the water moving to keep it from freezing. And then those areas that aren't being moved, you run a tugboat through. So we have access to the lake 12 months out of the year.
No kidding. No kidding. And you're targeting the same species 12 months long, Mackinac and trout and that sort of thing?
We will. So there's four main game species in Lake Tahoe, Ted. We have lake trout, also known as Mackinac. They are from the char family. They're a deep water fish, and they enjoy temperatures. They live in temperatures that vary from 39 to 50 degrees. 40 to 44 is about where they like it. We also have rainbow trout and brown trout, trophy rainbow trout and brown trout. They're beautiful fish, caught over 10 pounds every year.
Wow!
And then we have a healthy population of kokanee salmon. The kokanee salmon have had some issues in size of late. A lot of that has to do with feed in the lake and some certain stuff we could talk about later in your podcast. But those four main species are the species we target. The lake trout are a 12-month species or 12-month target. We fish for those all year long. The rainbows and browns, they are going to be the easiest to target in late fall and spring because the water temperature is on the surface.
Right.
And they kind of disappear in the summer months and in the winter months. They just go a little bit dormant in the winter. And then the kokanee, those guys come in, and usually they run from anywhere from May to late August, September. This year they were a little late, and they're still in, but they run a normal life cycle as a salmon does, 4 to 5 years depending on the fish and the year. And those are the four target species.
Got it. Let's talk a little about the kokanee salmon. I would imagine that, of course, our listeners from the West Coast are familiar with kokanee, but probably the farther east you go in the U.S. or our listeners down in South America are not familiar with kokanee salmon. Can you share that story with us?
The kokanee salmon are a landlocked coho salmon. Now these are a delicious fish. They have been a very popular fish in the Western United States because they can be they could be a hatchery fish, or they can be raised in a hatchery. They can be planted in different lakes, and they are fairly easy to populate as they live on that 4 or 5 year cycle, as I mentioned. So, just like any of the Pacific salmon species, they're going to have a 4 or 5 year life cycle. They're going to be born in the river, live in the river as fry for that first year. After their first year, they'll move into the open water, just as they would in the Pacific Ocean. If they were an ocean bearing fish, they would then move into the Pacific Ocean. They'd hide in the deep water wherever they could find feed for those years until they became a predatory fish, which is usually in the third, fourth, or fifth year, depending on the size of the fish. Mm-hmm. At that point in the third, fourth, or fifth year, usually fourth or fifth for most of the salmon species, they congregate in areas where they can feed heavily before they head up the river to spawn and start that life cycle over again. So essentially, once they feed and get large, then they'll move into those freshwater rivers as well, and they will spawn in those rivers and then die. So the states have found those to be easy fish to raise. Very delicious fish for the anglers to catch. And so they are a very popular fish throughout most of the Western United States for the average angler to go out and, you know, catch a bagful.
You bet. Now how big do they get in Lake Tahoe?
Well, the lake record was caught just a few years ago by one of the charter companies in Lake Tahoe, and it was about actually that was the state record. It was 5 1/4 pounds.
Wow, that's a big,
a beautiful fish.
Yeah, no kidding, that's incredible.
And it's unusual that the fish that large was caught here in recent years. Excuse me, because the fish have been shrinking over time, just lack of feed. Genetic issues at the hatchery where they're getting mixed with other batches of fish. But there was one pod of big fish, and one of the better fishermen on the lake that had fished a charter boat for my competitor did. He's a great kokanee fisherman, caught that fish, I believe it was three or four years ago. And that pod of fish that he caught him out of were all real big, obviously not as big as that one, but all real big fish.
Wow, no kidding. And what's the limit on kokanee in Tahoe?
Tahoe is 5 fish. You can keep up to 5 fish. And,
okay,
you know, you'll probably get 40 or 50 bites in a morning, and they have real soft mouths, so it's hard to keep them on the hook. So catching those 5 can be real easy some days or very challenging depending on the day. And a lot of it has to do with those soft mouths and just playing them right.
Right. Right. Interesting. You know, I've never known, I believe geographically that Tahoe sits on sort of the border. Isn't it between Nevada and California? Am I right?
Tahoe is 2/3 California and 1/3 Nevada. And as the states in our country get less and less cooperative as time goes on, this is one lake that they still reciprocate. You can fish California or Nevada fishing license. You can fish on the shore in Nevada with the California or vice versa. And California no longer does any enhancement of the fishery. So they don't do anything. They're trying to repopulate the fish with cutthroat trout, which we can talk a little bit about the history of the lake and the history of the fishery later in your podcast. But California Fish and Wildlife has done very little in recent years to enhance Lake Tahoe as a fishery. Nevada still puts in a few rainbow trout, and it's appreciated that they do that. But unfortunately, most of those rainbow trout get eaten by the Mackinac or the lake trout, because the Mackinac or the lake trout are the top of the food chain.
Right.
But the ones that do make it does help supplement that fishery. And as I mentioned, we have trophy rainbow trout and brown trout in our lake. So anything we can do to supplement that fisheries is fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. And you said that you get rainbow up to 10 pounds in the lake?
Yeah, there have been rainbow caught. I believe the lake record is about 15 and a half pounds for the rainbow trout and about 16.8 for the brown trout.
No kidding. And is that a native fish to Lake Tahoe then?
No, Ted. None of the species of game fish in the lake are native to Lake Tahoe. The native species on Lake Tahoe were the Paiute cutthroat trout. Mm-hmm. The Paiute cutthroat trout were there's pictures and stories of these fish being 5 feet long.
No kidding.
They were commercially harvested in the late 1800s during the boom in Virginia City in right. Nevada.
Right.
Along with that commercial harvesting of those fish, we had the Army Corps of Engineers built a dam. That dam is on the northwest shore of the lake on the Truckee River, the one outflow of the lake. Those Paiute cutthroat trout spawned upstream. And between the commercial harvesting and the dam that the Army Corps of Engineers put on the lake, it wiped out the populations of Paiute cutthroat trout. And those populations pretty much gone in around 1910, which is a sad thing because they were beautiful fish.
Yeah.
But they are no longer.
I can't imagine a 5 foot long trout. That's a beast, man.
Yeah, they had been in here a long time. And you know, we do have native bait fish, the Lahontan Redside, speckled dace, tui chub. We have also a mountain whitefish, Tahoe whitefish is what some people call them. Mm-hmm. Those are all native to the lake as well, but the game species are not. They were all put in around the early part of the 1900s, and then I think the kokanee were put in a little bit later, along with a lot of other fish that didn't make it, at least as the story goes. Mm-hmm. The lake trout, I believe, the populations of lake trout in the late 70s, there's a great book called Fishing Lake Tahoe by a gentleman by the name of John Rausch. John Rausch was one of the people, pioneers of fishing on Lake Tahoe. And he estimated the population of lake trout to be in the hundreds of millions back in the late 70s.
Oh my God.
I know some of my guests don't think that some days when we can't catch them. But when you see them stacked up on the sonar, it's pretty evident that there's a lot of fish in Lake Tahoe.
Wow, no kidding. So it's predominantly lake trout that you fish for when somebody books a charter with you.
You bet. They're the top of the food chain. So when I first started fishing, I always thought that my bread was going to be buttered with the kokanee salmon. And at that time, I guess in the late 1990s, you'd catch 2.5 pound kokanee fairly common, 20, 22 inches, 24 inches, beautiful fish. The bite was very consistent. And then, unfortunately, they just shrunk due to a few reasons. The state of California back in the 70s put micey shrimp in Lake Tahoe. And they did that thinking that they would grow the kokanee salmon to be even larger than they were. Mm-hmm. The micey shrimp go deep during the day when the sun's up. And then they go shallow at night. The kokanee salmon have an opposite, so they'll go shallower during the day and deeper. So they figured that these shrimp and kokanee would cross, and the kokanee would feed on the shrimp and end up being 6 pounds, 7 pounds, but they didn't. And what they didn't take into account was the fact that the micey shrimp feed on plankton, just like the kokanee salmon feed on plankton. Oh. So the micey shrimp began to eat the food supply of the kokanee. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening is the micey shrimp ended up being one of the staple in the Mackinac or lake trout diet. So, I would have actually sided with the Fish and Wildlife on that one and thought, that's a great idea.
Right.
But whenever we get too caught up in trying to be Mother Nature, I think it's turned out that we're wrong more often than not. And some things are just better left alone. And now there's talk of eradication of the micey shrimp, eradication of the lake trout, eradication of this, eradication of that. Well,
best of luck to him. And once again, it's time that, you know, people just quit messing with things and enjoy the fishery for what it is, and maybe help enhance it with another species or two. But eradication is just I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's too big of a body of water, isn't it? I mean, to even attempt something like that.
Well, you're looking for needle in a haystack in the Mycie shrimp, and there's a whole bunch of them in the haystack. So it's going to be really difficult to eradicate those.
Yeah.
And then from the perspective of the lake trout, almost impossible to eradicate those. They're the top of the food chain. So Tahoe's not a lake you can drain. In fact, the amount of water in Lake Tahoe, the volume of water in Lake Tahoe is so great that you could dump out the lake into the state of California and you'd have about 14 inches of water across the entire state. So it's a massive volume of water.
Good. It's deep, isn't it? Holy smokes.
You bet.
Wow. So you target lake trout. What's a typical day on the water with you, Joby?
Well, I've become very binary in the type of fishing that I do. I choose one type of fishing, sometimes two. I jig fish primarily, and I jig fish for multiple reasons. Number one, I can jig fish with light tackle. And light tackle is a lot more fun to catch the lake trout as you're fishing them deep than it is the heavier stuff that some people use on Lake Tahoe. Mm-hmm. So a typical day, we're going to leave, you know, at sunrise, head out on the lake, and we're going to go head out, and we're going to do some vertical jigging for lake trout. We use a jig that is unique to us. The jigs are sold, but they're made by a gentleman by the name of Ryan Wallace, Captain Ryan Jig Company. And Ryan worked for Mile High Fishing years ago, had some health issues, battled cancer and beat it, and bought the mold for those jigs, and they are fantastic jigs on Lake Tahoe. So we head out and we jig for the lake trout, and when we do that, we're using a 6'8" medium light rod, and we put a Captain Ryan jig tipped with a minnow on that. Lately, we've been fishing anywhere from 80 to 120 feet of water. We'll drop right into that 80 foot down to the bottom, bring it up a few cranks, and we've worked those jigs right off the bottom. Fishing has been really good. You're going to average maybe 5 or 6 fish per rod on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Sometimes more, sometimes less. Obviously, that's the average. Those fish are going to average a size anywhere from 3 to 5 pounds. And I know that's kind of a big number on the average, but considering they get into the upper 30s and you have a pretty constant fish in the 3 to 4 pound range, some days that average can be 5 or 6 pounds. Some days that average can be 2 or 3 pounds. So if that makes any sense to the anglers out there, that average can fluctuate daily, but fishing is really good and it's a lot of fun, and light tackle on Tahoe with jigging is really the way to go.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in my opinion, the lighter, the better. I've always enjoyed that. And the Mackinac or the lake trout fishing I've done, a lot of it has been done with downriggers and cannonballs. And, you know, you don't even know if you have a strike out of them, you know?
And, you know, I've done it all. And I did a lot of downrigging, a lot of trolling. And I just heard too many people say, you know, gosh, I watch you run the downriggers and then you hand me the rod once a fish is on. And you know, I try and have my anglers involved every day in everything that we do. You know, there's some safety issues with running downriggers if you haven't ran them, but it's certainly not rocket science. And over the years, and, you know, since, gosh, 2010, I don't think I've trolled on a charter at all. I've jigged because I just have too many people that enjoy handling their rod, getting that rod in the water, catching the fish from the bite to the hook set to the net. And you can't argue with happy customers, Ted.
Amen. Isn't that the truth? Now how many fishermen can you put on a boat for a trip?
You know, on Lake Tahoe, and there are companies that run more anglers than we do, but I've always had just something in me just doesn't want to take more than six people. So we stick with United States Coast Guard 6-passenger licenses. A lot of people call them 6-packs.
Exactly. So
the two boats we currently have both accommodate 6 people very comfortably. And we stick to that six number just because I think it's the most, you can catch the most fish at that number. And it's still comfortable and everybody can do what they need to do without getting lines tangled and such. So mm-hmm. six is our maximum.
Very good. And how big of a boat do you run, Joby?
You know, we just picked up this July, a 2020, 28-25 Kingfisher. So that's a 30-foot Kingfisher, lots of deck space, big cabin, really nice and warm, a beautiful boat. The boat I ran until this year, until July, is our 25-foot Kingfisher, and that boat is beautiful as well. I'm really fortunate. All of our boats are Kingfisher. All of our motors are Mercury, and we are Kingfisher Pro Staff and Mercury Pro Staff and very proud of it. Our boat dealer is Gone Fish and Marine, and they service and take care of those Mercuries for us, and they sell the Kingfishers and do a great job.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's a nice boat, too. And for people that don't know the dynamics of that boat, you've got a big cabin on there, and you probably run heaters in the wintertime and keep everybody toasty warm while you're getting to and from the fishing grounds.
You know, we've had an early start to winter this year, Ted, and I've had people very concerned about being cold out in the water and such, and they show up and they're in their parkas and they're scared to death of what the day's going to hold. And they climb on our boats that both have really nice propane heaters in them. And it's 75 degrees in the cabin and a nice place to warm up during the trip. So, absolutely. You know, whether it's summertime and you have lots of sun and you need to get out of it, or wintertime and it's cold, the cabins are just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you run what, half days or full days? What do you offer in regards to the length?
We
of time?
Do both. Our half day trips are 4 to 5 hours, and those trips go out both morning and afternoon. We have in the summertime a 6 o'clock departure and a 12 o'clock departure, and wintertime 7 or 8 o'clock departure, and then again at 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. Part of the winter we'll just do one departure at 9 a.m. and we won't do a second. And then we also do full day charters, and those charters are 6 to 7 hours. And those go early and, you know, we just go get them. The full day charters are best, both fall and spring when we can fish multiple species of fish. So mm-hmm. I don't always take, but there are a lot of people, Ted, that want to go out for that 7 hour trip and they don't want to do a 5 hour trip because they love being on the water. So we do them all year round, but I suggest those fall and winter.
Yeah, very good. Now, do you run an open boat concept, or is this all, guided charter?
So when you ask open boat or private boat is I think what you mean.
Exactly.
We specialize in private boats, but we do open charters as well. So up to 6 people on a mixed group. Mm-hmm. And then we have a very reasonably priced private charter. So, you know, when it comes to private charters, people look to us because they can get out, they can get their party out. It doesn't cost them an arm and a leg, and they can enjoy the boat to just their group, family, office, whatever it might be that they, you know, we do lots of bachelor parties. We do lots of bachelorette parties, and it works out real nice having a private boat.
Makes sense. Now, if somebody wants to come up from, you know, Reno or let's say Sacramento or the Bay Area, and they want to bring up a group of employees and that sort of thing, can you accommodate larger groups?
We can on the 2 boats, and we also work in conjunction with other boats on the lake, so we can do groups up to – we've done groups up to 45 or 50.
Wow.
We enjoyed doing those groups of – you know, this year we had 3 boats on the water, so we could handle groups up to 18 just in-house. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of things. We do team building ideas. We have – you know, we've done scavenger hunt fishing expeditions. We do – fishing derbies within those groups. So we do everything we can to make it as enjoyable as possible. And being that I am a native to Lake Tahoe, we have a lot of connections within the community that we can do things and some great places for folks to take their catch afterwards and have it prepared. And it's a really, really great way to finish the day. And as you know, Ted, being an outdoorsman yourself, just fresh fish the day after being on the water, or, you know, hours after being on the water, just can't be beat.
Nothing better. Nothing better. And the lake trout are pretty good to eat, aren't they?
They are. You know, in some places they have a bad reputation because they sit on the bottom. But, mm-hmm. you know, Lake Tahoe is one of the cleanest, clearest bodies of water on Earth. And when you have a clean, clear body of water, what you have is a very clean, clear, and perfect food source. So yeah. I've actually had biologists from the University of Nevada come fishing with me and take some of these fish back to their labs and look at the meat of the fish and the protein of the fish. And I can tell you firsthand from their experience, these fish have more omega-3s than a salmon does. They are perfectly pure. So in this day and age where a lot of fisheries, whether it be the Delta or other places where you're warned not to eat fish more than once a week or twice a month, depending on where you're at, you know, mm-hmm. Tahoe, you can eat these fish every day. They're real orange meat. A lot of that has to do with those micey shrimp I was talking about.
Sure.
And they are one of the best protein sources that you can feed off of. So mm-hmm. the lake trout, it's a sustainable fishery. So you're not having to worry about wiping out a fishery or wiping out an ecosystem. And the protein source and the omega-3s, it's the perfect food, really. So mm-hmm. they are delicious. The kokanee are delicious. But for the most part, because the rainbow and brown trout are a limited resource on Lake Tahoe, I try and return most of those fish. There are a lot of guys that are killing them on a daily basis, and it's disappointing because we want to see that fishery maintain over the next 100 years, in spite of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. But when you do have to take one because you catch it in the gill or however you might hurt that or damage that fish, they are excellent eating as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, over this last summer season, there's always that one or two trips that you take as a guide, and you go, "Gosh, that was an incredible trip." Do you have one in mind that you've taken in the last couple of months that you can share with us?
Gosh, Ted, you know, I do so many trips; it's really hard to pull out one individually. Mm-hmm. I can go back to a trip in the spring, and I'll tell you, this is for awareness, is what this is. My mom, Ted, suffers from Alzheimer's disease. It's a terrible disease. It's devastating. It's debilitating. It's hard on the families. It's hard on the people that have it. Mm-hmm. And this year, I had the opportunity to take out a gentleman, Mike Pinder, of one of the original Moody Blues.
Really?
Great man. Very, very enjoyable trip. He was with his two boys. It was a fantastic group. And for me, it was really memorable because he has Alzheimer's, Ted. And, you know, I took him out on the boat, and it had so much correlation to my mom's situation just because he was very close to where she was at about a year ago. So for me, taking those guys out and enjoying the fishery that I love so much and letting them enjoy it as well. We caught nice fish that day. It was just a great trip. And, you know, once again, I mentioned this on the podcast just to bring awareness to the, mm-hmm. you know, the purple pin that you see people wearing, the purple ribbon, that's the Alzheimer's ribbon and just awareness to the Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, absolutely. I lost my mother to Alzheimer's just about a year ago. And, it was, a very deteriorating disease that, if people haven't experienced it, seeing a loved one go through it, it's kind of shocking, isn't it?
It really is. And, I don't mean to bring down the podcast and you and I, I'm sure, are going to have a long lasting relationship here and we can talk about some of the funny trips and some of the more serious trips in the future. But I just did want to mention that because I did very much enjoy it. And yes, it is a difficult disease. And that's the hashtag end Alzheimer's is hashtag end ALZ.
Very good. Very good. So I'm just curious, what do you do with your time off? It doesn't sound like you have a whole lot of it, but what do you enjoy doing when you're not on the boat?
You know, Ted, I coached basketball for a number of years here in Lake Tahoe, and, you know, I raised two spectacular boys. I'm so proud that they were also Tahoe natives. So, to be honest, the time off I have is most especially spent with family. So we chase our family. We do a little bit of traveling. We will try and fish. And then I also have an amazing hunting dog and we do some guided hunting trips as well. And I just really enjoy chucker hunting and quail hunting. So between hunting and fishing and chasing my family, that's pretty much my entire time.
Very good. Very good. In regards to the equipment that you use, are you on pro staff or have agreements with tackle manufacturers and that sort of thing, Joby?
I do. I'm very fortunate to be part of the Pure Fishing Pro Staff, or I shouldn't say Pro Staff, Select Angler Program. So I do, all my reels are Abu Garcia, top of the line counter Abus, 6,500 C3 line counters. They're fantastic rods and reels, or excuse me, reels. This year, I broke off and I used Douglas rods. And Douglas rods are becoming more and more popular. And we use a 6'8" medium light Douglas, and they are just fantastic rods. I couldn't be more happy with them.
Now, are you, and you're using level wind reels and that sort of thing primarily?
Yeah. The 6,500 C3s are level winds, level wind bait casters. They are, I think, one of the best reels made. We replace all of our gear annually. So everything that you fish on Mile High Fishing is always going to be new. We also are very proud to be part of the Rapala Pro Staff. And we use Suffolk's line, Suffolk's braid, 832. It's a great braided line with a fluorocarbon leader on all those rods. So yeah, we pride ourselves on using the best in the business, and with our Douglas rods, our Abu Garcia reels, Suffolk line, Rapala and Captain Ryan jigs, we have the best in the biz.
Sounds like you've got it covered. Now, I'm just curious, how about people that have never fished before, have limited experience, kids and that sort of thing, are they welcome on the boat?
Always welcome. And I'll tell you, with this style of fishing, as unique as it is, I tell a lot of people that I love to take out newbies because I don't have any bad habits to break. I have a ton of people that fish with me from the South, ton of people that fish with me from the Northeast and Midwest and all over the country and world, to be honest with you. And, and you know, a lot of people from Texas and the South, they're bass fishermen. So their first reaction is just ripping lips. You know, they don't get the concept of reeling out and having any kind of you know, not ripping those lips off those fish. So yeah, new people coming out that haven't fished before, a couple things. They've saved their luck for their whole life, so they're going to be real lucky coming out. And I love to have kids on my boat, because a lot of kids that fish with me have caught fish before, but just the nature of these lake trout, I usually break their big fish record every time they come out with us.
Awesome. Awesome. That must put not only a smile on their face, but a smile on your face.
You bet it does. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to take kids out and have them catch that first big freshwater fish that they've caught in their life, and sometimes the biggest that they'll ever catch in their life.
So true. You know, I share this story quite often, and it's just about your profession. And I can't think of a more honorable profession than to take people out and help them build memories. Because when it does come to that end of life, a lot of people are not going to be sitting on their deathbed thinking about all the business deals they've done, right? They're going to be thinking about that, you know, 17-pound Mackinac they caught with Captain Joby, you know, back 20 years ago. And what you do for people is something that they carry on with them for a lifetime. And I thank you for doing that.
I love doing it, Ted. You know, a lot of people think of fishing guides. They think that fishing is the primary aspect of being a fishing guide. Fishing, just about anybody can do. A fishing guide is a people person. A fishing guide is somebody that can, that enjoys people, that enjoys fishing with people, enjoys showing people, enjoys telling people, enjoys listening to people. And that's really the biggest aspect of my job, is not just the fishing part. That's the important part. Believe me, people want to catch fish, but it's the people. It's the people that I take fishing, people from all over the world, every walk of life, all different things. And you say, you know, end of life situation, you know, that's a sad situation, but I can tell you, a colleague of mine and I were talking the other day about the number of people that we fished with this year that had stage 4 cancer or were terminally ill. And they were coming out with their buddies or their family or their friends to spend, you know, the last few months of their life doing something they truly enjoyed. And and I love taking part of that and being a part of that. And, you know, you said, you know, those people with their pictures and such. I can't tell you how many family albums that I'm in, how many people that would invite me to their dinner table because we did spend those 5 or 6 hours fishing, and how many customers I've had over the course of the 22 years I've been fishing that have fished with me 40 times in those 22 years, or, you know, twice a year, once a year, once every 5 years. And, you know, I take great pride in that, Ted.
Absolutely. And they consider you one of their best friends, you know, and even though you might only see them. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very fulfilling on both sides of that coin.
You bet.
But, well, Joby, I want to thank you so much for carving out part of your day with us today. It's been a real pleasure to talk with you, and I'm sure the listeners have gained a lot. How do people contact you, Joby, if they would like to book a trip?
Well, the best way to find our information is on our website, which is fishtahoe.com. Fishtahoe.com tells you just about everything there is to know about Mile High Fishing and our company. And you can also reach us by phone at 530-541-5312.
Very good. Very good. Well, Joby, once again, thank you so much, my friend. And we wish you the best of the 2019 season, and hope that 2020 is your very best ever. And I'm sure people will remember this when they are heading to Tahoe to do some of maybe some of their other family activities, and they're going, gosh, I got to get a hold of that Joby guy and have him take me out, because that's something that you don't, you know, don't want to miss when you come to your part of the world.
Fish on Ted podcast, the best in the business. I thank you very much, Ted. You have a great one.
Okay. Thanks again, Joby.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.